The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Wilson at KGLA Algona and Doug Burns at the Carroll Times-Herald. Brian, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator, last week you talked about GBS agreeing to a settlement here, and kind of a price fixing, that sort of thing. Do you think this is maybe the first step in the process of trying to even things out for cattle producers, not only in Iowa but across the country?
No, I don't think that'll do it. I think we got to pass our bill. This corporation is so big, $52 million doesn't mean much to them. Remember, the leaders of it even spent some time in Brazilian prison. I think they're out now serving their time. I don't know what they did illegally under law down there in Brazil. But we're dealing with four major packers that dominate the market. And they got 85% of it. And I'd like to think that this good action by the DOJ getting this case won or getting this settlement would solve it, but I don't think so. And so we have to proceed with a bipartisan bill. Started out Grassley, Fisher, Tester, and Wyden. Now we have 9 Republicans and 8 Democrats on it. We have to move our legislation in order for the cattle feeders in Iowa to have a fair market and be able to market at all. Some days you might get a price, but you might not be able to deliver your cattle for a month. And I've had cattlemen tell me that. So where we are is, until we do something through legislation like ours, we're going to have a situation where the big feedlots of Texas, Kansas, Colorado eat up about 90% of the chain, that daily kill, in other words, that the independent producer that wants to market on a negotiated basis can't get a price or can't deliver. Doug.
Senator, as you know, many Iowa newspapers are struggling now as Facebook and Google basically manipulate data, traffic and misinformation, drop people from their platforms, and generally engage in anti-competitive practice where advertising and content is concerned. Do you support the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act that would let newspapers like ours, really, a lot of the small papers that, you know, you work with regularly, that would let us negotiate with these tech giants, Google and Facebook, like they do in Australia, in order to get a fair price, a fair return for our content and the stories that, we generate?
In concept, yes. I have not settled on the specific language of the legislation, and so I haven't co-sponsored it. And I think, though, that there's a good chance that that legislation can move. So I'm going to give you an answer similar to the answer I gave to the Des Moines Register last summer, that if I end up supporting it, I'm supporting it for reasons other than what you are asking me to support it for. I'm just fed up with these big tech companies, and for various reasons, and yours isn't the only reason I'm fed up with them. Mostly they're censoring. Mostly their protection from a lawsuit by the Section 230. And then don't forget that I'm moving ahead with a bill that got out of committee 16-6 that we call the Klobuchar-Grassley bill that would get after their monopolistic power that they have of discriminating against certain products that are sold on their platform. And they usually discriminate by giving lesser attention to the small businesses that want to sell than they do their own product. Back to Brian.
Yes, Senator, the state of Iowa is trying to expand broadband service to rural areas, kind of like Kossuth County. Can you talk maybe about the federal level, what you're doing to try and expand the internet access for especially rural farmers, that sort of thing?
Yeah. First of all, there's an old program that puts a few billion, maybe a darn few billion, into that issue from the FCC. comes out of money that you pay on your telephone bill each month. Then there is annual appropriation to the U.S. Department of Agriculture that does it. And then there's the $100 million that in Iowa, and only Iowa, that Governor Reynolds got the legislature to appropriate. And then there's a selling of spectrum that brings in about $16 billion that's going to go into that. But then those are all almost existing programs over a long period of time, not getting the job done. So in the infrastructure bill that I voted for, and I was one of only 19 Republicans to vote for it, and the only one from Iowa to vote for it, except for Axne, voted for it in the House, we've got $65 billion in there. Now, I can't tell you how much of that $65 billion is going to come to Iowa, but I can tell you this, that the priority is for unsecured, or that's not the word, for underserved, I'm thinking of unserved areas would have first priority and lesser served areas second priority before people where they already have the service get more help. Doug.
Senator, President Biden has determined that he's going to nominate an African-American woman to the Supreme Court. That's a demographic that hasn't had representation on the court. As it stands right now, Senator, I mean, you're one of only two working farmers in the Senate, but there's nobody on the U.S. Supreme Court with a rural background, and we're 20% of the population. Shouldn't rural Americans, like, you know, those of us living around me here in our neighborhood, shouldn't, you know, we have some representation as we have environmental and land use issues colliding here in future decades? There's nobody on the court with even a hint of a rural background, Senator.
You're absolutely right, and I would not be opposed to somebody like that being on the Supreme Court, but it'd be intellectually dishonest for me to say that that's the most important thing, just like whether it's man, woman, white, black, brown, Native American, anything else you want to divide America into. I'm looking at their capability. That's very important. If they've been on the bench someplace else and they got a record, I can judge. But I want somebody that has what we call judicial temperament, leave their own views out of it, interpret law passed by Congress. If there's a hole in it that they see, get Congress to pass it. Don't let the Supreme Court fill it in. Don't let them put their own views in. Well, Congress should have done this, and they didn't do it, so we'll interpret this law this way. Or another thing, to interpret the Constitution to the original intent. Those are my main concerns. And that's why I'm going to judge whoever he puts up, although he's pretty much committed to an African-American woman. But I do want to say that even though this Supreme Court doesn't have any, many people from rural areas on it, in regard to the land use problem that you brought up, we have two very important cases that the Supreme Court's decided to take that will hopefully strengthen property rights under the Fifth Amendment. Back to Brian.
Yes, Senator, last week you and some of your colleagues and urging the EPA to kind of maybe take a pause on the Waters of the U.S. Portion of the Clean Water Act. Can you maybe talk about that a little bit?
I'm one.
Are there and how it impacts farmers?
I'm one of those. And when I heard the administration was going to give it, I immediately went to the floor and gave a speech and had a map that I got from the Farm Bureau 2013-2014 when Waters of the U.S. was put up and became law at that point. And it showed 97% of the land would be subject to regulation in the United States. So you imagine if you're a farmer, you got to start dealing with these bureaucrats at the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers, how much of a problem that's going to be. So Trump comes along and he changes it. And now this administration wants to go back and change it. And we have expressed to the administration that they should wait until the Supreme Court deals on one of these two cases that's coming up next year that will deal with this issue. So we hope that the Supreme Court will rule that federal jurisdiction ends where the navigable river ends, and above that, states take over to regulate that. Doug, you're going to be the last question.
Yes, Senator. There is a competitive primary in the Iowa State Auditor's race. Marianne Hinojosa, the former state rep who has strong ties to you and your office is running in Council Bluffs. I know you usually stay out of primaries, but in this case, because of your close ties to her, her working for you and the Bush administration, have you endorsed her, or are you going to endorse her?
Well, I think I have endorsed her, and if she hasn't put that out in a press release, it ought to. I would think it'd be out already, but if it's not, you'll have to check with her. But we have said, yes, we would do that. And so I'm glad to be able to do that. She's very well qualified. Thank you both, Brian and Doug, for participating.
Thank you, Brian and Doug, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.